The next major paragraph has to do with buyer's investigation of the property. Now remember, first of all, this is a contingency, meaning if the buyer doesn't like what they find within the time frame of the contract, they have a right to rescind, or they have a right under paragraph 14 to come back and ask the seller to renegotiate either the price or some of the repairs. But understand what that means. I think the way to best explain it to a buyer is that they have a right during this time frame, and of course that's the key thing, within this time frame, to conduct, and let me quote direct from the contract, inspections, investigations, tests, surveys, or other studies. In other words, the buyer has a right to investigate every aspect of the property. Now, do they have a right to investigate the neighborhood? Yes. Do they have a right to find out if planes fly over their house? Yes. Do they have a right to determine what the school scores are? Yes. I was asked one time, does the buyer have a right to find out how much commute time is? And I say absolutely right. If you live in a rural area and you're commuting a long ways, I advise the buyer to get out there at 6:30 in the morning, just like they would be living there, and drive and see if they can handle the hour and a half to work. A buyer has the right to investigate every aspect of the property. Now, the contract goes on and does try to help you define that so you understand it. Like it says, you can inspect lead-based paint, wood-destroying pests and termites, etc., review of the sex offenders list, confirm whether the property is insurable. Remember that the insurance industry has a database called CLUE, C-L-U-E, where they keep a list of all the claims, and especially not only the properties, but also the person that filed the claims. And it's possible that that property may have had so many claims it's uninsurable, or it's going to be double or triple the rate. So they need to find that out during their inspection period, how many buyers are actually doing that, and that the buyer is satisfied with the inspection advisory. Now, we're going to talk about that a little later, but this is the two pages at the end of the contract that talk about what all the issues are that the buyer should be investigating. And the other issue around property condition are the issues that the seller disclosed. For example, you're going to get all these disclosures from the seller, and the buyer has a right to look at those and say, I don't approve. And as I mentioned earlier, it says very clearly in the contract, let me read that to you, without seller's prior written consent, buyers shall neither make nor cause to be made an invasive destruction investigation, meaning that you can't tear off something, or number two, inspection by a governmental agency. So understand, you've got to advise the buyer, in my opinion, because the buyers don't know how to do this, about what's going to happen. Also, they don't necessarily pay attention. I mean, this is a serious, serious problem. You're paying $400, $500, $700, $1 million for a property, and they're kind of not paying attention because they're at work in some stupid meeting. We should have a serious sit-down meeting with them and go over this buyer's advisory, and I'm going to talk about that later. It also goes on to say something I think is critical, is the seller has to make the property available, meaning you got to have a key in the lockbox or some way for the buyer to get in. It also says that the seller shall have the water, electricity, gas, and any other operable pilot light on, meaning the seller has to leave the power and the electricity on and the gas on, otherwise you can't do an effective investigation. So be sure and warn your seller about that. The next issue has to do with buyer liability. I don't think a lot of agents really understand this, that the contract and also common law tells you that the buyer has to protect the seller's interest when they're in their property. Think about it. First of all, it says that the property has to be kept free of liens. In other words, nothing the buyer does should put a lien on the seller's property. The next issue really shocks everyone, I think, is the clause in the contract that says, and let me read this to you, buyers shall carry or buyer shall require anyone acting on the buyer's behalf to carry policies of liability, workman's comp, and other applicable insurance. Let me ask you a question. You are constantly, as a buyer's agent, ordering inspections for the buyer. You seller's agents are bringing people in to do repairs. Have you checked their insurance? I don't think you have, and I think that's a big problem, because why would anybody that hires an inspector on a property not find out whether they have liability insurance, workman's comp insurance, and E&O insurance? So here's what I want you to do. And I know it's going to mess some of you up, because most of you have a whole line of vendors that you use all the time. And you're going to tell me, Guy, my people are good. Well, I'm going to ask you to test that based on not what I say, but what the contract says. Call them and ask them, Do you have insurance? Do you have workman's comp? Do you have liability? And do you have errors and omissions? And then shut up and listen to what the answer is. One of three answers is going to happen. No. And then they're going to tell you some story about, well, we have this fund set aside, and I would frankly hang up and go click because it's over. The contract requires it, and also logic requires it. You would only have people come out to that property that are covering your buyer's liability. Number two answer could be, yes, but. And so if you hear but, I would be worried because they're going to make some kind of explanation about maybe they have liability and they have errors, they have workman's comp, but they don't necessarily have errors and omissions insurance. Or the third answer, which is yes, we do. The problem is, and I've heard this question asked many, many times when I teach this in classes, is what if they're lying to me? What do I know if it's true? Well, it's very, very simple. What you say to them, what I'd like you to do is to send me a copy of those with your current coverage so I can put it in my presentation manual because I want to tell my clients that I only use contractors and licensees and inspectors, et cetera, that are covered adequately by insurance. You're going to be really surprised because some of the people that are going to tell you yes are then going to admit to you they don't have it. So my attitude would be, if I'm analyzing you on a real estate litigation case, if you send out an inspector who's not covered by insurance, then I think you're negligent. That would be my opinion as an expert witness. The next issue that comes up in this area is, should the buyer go in and start making repairs? Because that really ties into the same issue about people working on the seller's house with or without liability. Frankly, I don't think that buyers should ever be allowed to do anything to a seller's property prior to close of escrow.